Thank you, Rupert. It seems, and I don't want to project anything on you, but that you're surrounded like by pure love, and from like since our conversation on Thursday about like what you put out kind of comes back. That wasn't the exact words, but that's the idea I got from it. That would mean that like within yourself, there's a lot of love and honesty. And how do you stay honest with yourself on this path and you don't get entangled with maybe the mind trying to do things, you know?
You mean how do I not become aggrandized by the
Yeah,
work that I do,
that could be what one
but
of
that I don't
the
become inflated by it?
exactly like the mind. How do you see clearly the mind when it tries to take that
To
understanding and
claim it,
exactly
yeah.
and use it maybe
Well,
or
William, you're right, particularly here. I, as all of you, are kind of surrounded, bathed in love and friendship, and but out in the world, I receive my fair share of hostility. Particularly online. Not that I ever go on Facebook or any of those channels. I never look at them, but I have a few friends that keep me informed from time to time. So, and that's inevitable when anyone goes out into the world to represent truth or love or beauty in some form. They draw out of humanity a resistance to it, and that resistance, it's a minority, but it's very vocal, and it's intense and extremely unpleasant, and you have to learn it, and it's helpful, of course. For any of you that have experienced such a thing, when you have this understanding and this love of truth, any kind of hostility or negativity or unkindness or all the untrue things that people say about you and so on, you just use all this for the fire of understanding. You just transform it all into love. So you welcome it, you enjoy it. You don't resist it. You use it to deepen your imperturbable peace on the inside and your unconditional love on the outside. You notice, for instance, if you resist, if you dislike, if you hate the people that hate you, no, you just love them more. And you notice if it upsets you on the inside. Well, if it upsets you, you're established in your mind, not in your being. So you use these kind of, whether it's, it could be online, it could be some kind of relationship in the world, a colleague at work, a friend, and any way where you meet hostility, judgment, criticism, and so on, where that you would normally resist and defend, you do the opposite. You just open yourself. You just love more. You resist less. You understand why they do what they do and don't judge them for it. So it becomes fuel for this love and understanding. So I say that, why have I said all that? Because yes, here I like all of us here, we're kind of surrounded by love. It would be hard to get a more beautiful circumstance than this. But what you say is also true. What I'm describing is a tiny fraction life out in the world. The quality of friendship I feel here, I feel with a vast majority of people I interact with. And I'm not now talking about people that share this understanding. I mean, you know, the people at home to come and help cut the grass, or the guy that drives me to the station, it characterizes the vast, this love that we share here characterizes the vast majority of my interactions with people. It's not always expressed in this way, of course. Sometimes it's expressed with more formality as the situation demands. But yes, I've noticed a complete reorientation of my life in line with the quality of love we feel here, yes.
Could you say a bit how you did actually? Do you still have any time that the mind comes up and tries to trick you, or you know what I mean?
I want to be sure I'm understanding you, William. Do you mean it tries to trick me and to somehow claim this understanding for myself and be aggrandized by it?
Well, what I mean is because I often get the mind just takes me back into its habits and its identifications and stuff. Do you still have those?
Do I still get triggered and lose myself in thoughts and feelings?
And it tends to be hard to see that, you know, when you're into it, when you get taken into it, you get taken in the story.
Okay. Yes, I can be triggered, William. And my thoughts and feelings react accordingly. What I notice is that it doesn't happen very often, and it doesn't last very long. It doesn't take root like it used to. You know, someone triggered you. Someone triggers you, and it can take root, and it can last for 3 days or 3 weeks, or so I still notice that from time to time a situation can trigger me or upset me, but it doesn't happen very often, and when it does, it dissolves fairly quickly. It doesn't grow roots in me. And then there are some. I think I said earlier on in the week that some relationships can expand to accommodate this understanding, and others can't. And those relationships crack because the understanding is just too big for the small sphere in which the relationship previously operated. So unless the relationship can expand to accommodate the new understanding, something has to give, it has to crack. And that's nearly always painful. And there are a few relationships in my life where there was a lot of love and the relationship cracked because it couldn't expand to accommodate this understanding. And that causes me sadness. That's like a sorrow in my heart because of that. But I don't do anything with it. I don't feel that that's a sign of ignorance to be got rid of or to be meditated away. It's just an inevitable consequence of this understanding as it grows that some aspects of our lives evolve with it and others don't. And that inevitably involves some degree of loss and the sorrow that attends it. So it's actually that sort of a sorrow. I don't really see that sorrow as a sign of ignorance or the sense of separation. It's the other side of love. It's when love can't be fully shared in a relationship. It inevitably causes sorrow. So I, There are a few people in my life like that.
That wouldn't happen with family, right? Could it?
Absolutely, it can happen with family. Yeah, very much so. In fact, family members are prime candidates for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that was actually something I wanted to ask about. Like, why is that?
Why is that? Because... because we choose our friends, but we don't choose our family. So we tend to choose our friends, to people who share our interests in life, and then there's a lot of overlap between our interests and our activities, and it's not often that you're. Have a close friendship with someone with whom you share nothing. It would be very unusual. But with your family, you haven't chosen them. You're just thrown together, and you're in most cases, unless there's been a real rift, but in most cases, you're throughout your entire life, you maintain a connection with them. But there may be you may not share very much with them, and therefore there's the normal intercourse that in the relationship is not there. So, for instance, you don't share this, you're deep interested in these matters with them. There may even be hostility towards them. So. But nevertheless, you have to stay with them. So there you have this feeling of kind of loneliness with them. The love is there, deep down underneath. But on the surface, there's no meeting. And therefore there's a crack, there's a break, and then. Whereas with a friend that you don't share anything with, you tend to drift apart. Well, some people also drift apart from their family, but most people stay connected to their family even if they're not very close because of this deep connection. Am I responding to your question, William?
Yeah, you are. I think it's another question I should ask, but because it's me, it's like about emotions which come up when I interact with my mom, like very strong emotions, and I just wonder if it's explainable, maybe with trauma or something, you know, that's like deep-seated in me, and yeah. It comes out when we interact, or if it's just sometimes I sense her anxiety as mine, you know, could be that. But this is why I asked.
Are you very close to your mother?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
Yeah. I had a girlfriend once, many, many years ago. And when we separated, she wrote me a letter. And she said, "Rupert, this is my parting gift to you. Unless you clear up your relationship with your mother, you will never have a satisfactory intimate relationship." She was right. I didn't want to admit it, but she was right.
What does that mean, clear up?
Well, my mother, as a few of you know, was I described her earlier this week. She was a larger-than-life character, beautiful, bohemian, eccentric, wonderful, creative person. But she didn't know the meaning of the word boundaries. I mean, she did not know what a boundary was. Some of you know, my first studio was next door to her. I built a 6-foot physical out of bricks. I built it myself. A 6-foot wall between our two properties. Because I could not get her out of my life emotionally. I just couldn't. It was like I built a 6-foot wall right the way down. But a couple of years later, I relented. I took it down to 3 feet. So that she could still see across the boundary. But the rule was you don't come across the boundary unless you're invited. She could not understand it. And that's why I had to build it, because she just could not understand that mothers have to get out of the emotional life of their sons if their sons are going to... If the son's primary relationship is not going to be with his mother, but with his intimate companion. And that's hard for a mother to let go of that. And my intuition about you is that you're very, very close with your mother, that your mother doesn't want to let go of you. I understand why. You're a beautiful young man, and that you're such a kind young man, you're finding it difficult to make that break. But you also long for an intimate companion. So there's this conflict in you. Your mother is in the place in your heart where you want your intimate companion to be. So I don't recommend a 6-foot wall. But don't expect your mother to provide that boundary. Some mothers can, very enlightened mothers can, but most can't. You have to do it. And it will hurt your mother. Although, however gently you do it, it will be a pain for her, because she'll feel she's losing you. She's not losing you. She won't lose you. You'll come back, and your relationship will be much richer and even better than it is now. I did this with my mother. I built it. And then, as many of you know, I then moved away, went to live quite a long way away from her. And then, she used to come and stay, and our relationship just improved. At the end of her life, we had not at the end, for the last 20 or so years of her life, we had the most beautiful, mature friendship, because I had managed to extricate myself from her, and that enabled me to, it enabled me to have the relationship I have now. I wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't really extricated myself from my mother. So, and she understood it in the end. Eventually, she understood it.
You know, Rupert, I think it's the opposite. I'm the one who's...
You're the one, okay. I might be all right. Yeah. Well, but, okay. That's credit to your mother. then, okay, good. Thank you for saying that. But it's the same principle. Then your mother has to push you out of the nest. You know, my mother said such a beautiful thing to Kira when she and I first got together. She asked her where she lived, and she said, I live in upstate New York. And she said, oh, that's wonderful, darling. Just take Rupert to New York. Take him back home with you to New York. It was so beautiful. Most mothers would have thought, oh, no, I'm going to lose Rupert to America. She just said to Kira, just take him to New York. It'll be wonderful for him, darling. So that's good. Your mother may have to just nudge you out of the nest. But you can't rely on her to do that. It's not her job, it's your job. And the process you will have to go through to leave the nest is just the process you need to prepare you for your intimate relationship. Because if I may speak on behalf of the women here, a woman doesn't want to be with a man who is attached to his mother. That's a nightmare for a woman. Am I allowed to say that? Yeah. Well, it depends. I don't mean close to his mother. I said attached. I don't mean close. To be close to your mother is a beautiful thing, and can be a lovely thing in a relationship. But emotionally attached. I don't mean close. That's a different thing. Attached, dependent on. Your intimate companion wants to be the woman in your life.
She wants to be
the apple of your eye. She doesn't want. There must be a sanctity in your relationship. It must just be just the two of you, not the three of you. It must be just the two of you. Of course, then your mother is. If you have that between you, then you invite your mother in, and you can be very close with your mother in your intimate relationship. You can include your mother. That can be very beautiful. It was like that with my mother and Kira. But it's the emotional dependence. It's the childish relationship with your mother. You have to mature to an adult relationship with your mother. And if you do that, when you make that change, or when you begin to make that change in yourself, you send a message to the universe. And women are very sensitive, that they'll pick that up, that they will feel that your emotional freedom, your emotional independence, your availability. At the moment, you're not completely available. Surprise, surprise, the universe is corresponding with that unavailability. You want to be available. You want a woman. But you're sending the universe a mixed message. I want a woman, but I'm not available. And that makes it very hard for the universe to fulfill that message. You want to give the universe a message. I am unequivocally open and available emotionally. It doesn't imply any rejection of your mother. Please don't understand. I'm not saying you don't need to build a 6-foot wall. It's an emotional thing which will actually bring you closer to your mother.
Just a light fence with a door.
A fence of light with a doorway in it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you. I'm beyond grateful, Rupert. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.